accusation or any condemnation. When I look into my Father's eyes, they don't see my sin, they only see redemption. This is how my heart has been defined. Can you hear the feet of the Father running? I I can hear the feet of the Father running. I can hear the feet of the Father running. I can hear the feet of the Father running. It's like a stampede of grace coming my way. Mercy I never earned, grace I never deserved, coming to bring me home again. I can hear the Father.
Start to today's Rise Up here on this April 8th, year of our Lord, 2024, folks. Wow. I am your beloved, and there's nothing like my Father's love. And like I said in the live chat, if God be for you, then who could ever stand against you? And the answer is nobody. Nobody on earth. Nobody in the spiritual realm, nobody anywhere in existence. What a blessing. Holy Spirit power. Thank you guys very much. I hope you had a good weekend. It's Monday morning, and I hear that we are going to have some kind of a phenomenon today known as an eclipse. And you know what I was thinking as I came in this morning? I've paid little to nothing when it comes to attention on the eclipse, okay? Mainly because everything is political these days. Even an eclipse, Eli, who's back in studio today, even an eclipse is political these days. An eclipse that happens all the time. Now, I know it doesn't happen to this extent all the time. I get it. It's a phenomenon. So I started thinking about that today. And do you know the people that are making this eclipse the primary talking point of their lives? People that are, you know, literally shutting down states, calling states of emergencies and all of that. Those are the same people who believe in astrology and look to the stars to help define them. Look to something that's been created look to creation, which they are greater than, in some cases, being made in God's image. And they look to the stars to help define them and tell them who they are, and everything is going to be okay. Instead of looking to the one who flung the stars into existence, God Almighty. So number one, they are equivalent to people who look to stars to tell them about themselves. Number two, people who are literally making this eclipse the primary focus of their lives right now, politicizing it, talking about what it's going to do, what it's not going to do, this, that, and the other that we have no control of. Anyway, they remind me, Eli, of the people who stood on the top of the building in the movie Independence Day and said, "Welcome, welcome," and then got obliterated by the alien race. Now, I'm not saying that to like poke fun at them or make fun of them. I'm just saying that it is the equivalent of those things. And if we just look at the eclipse as an amazing, miraculous, wonderful event that God has put into motion, and look at it in reverence and awe of the fact that God is the creator of the eclipse and the moon and the sun and the solar system and the stars and everything else, then we're putting our focus on where it needs to be, on God. If your focus is on the eclipse, then your focus is, is primarily on the eclipse, then your focus is on Satan, ladies and gentlemen, period. Remember, Satan waits like a hungry lion waiting to devour you around every single corner. And if he can get your mind off of God for 1 second, he wins, just like on Easter Sunday when the White House made it Transgender Day of Awareness. Who cares? It didn't really matter when one old man who can't walk up or downstairs, ride a bike, walk, or talk, says, "We're going to make it for Transgender Day. Transgenders. Those transgenders, Eli. Transgandolphs. The Clapsons, you know? That doesn't really matter." So, again, I just urge you, as we start today's show on this Monday, on this rare event that we're about to experience, A, that it comes from God, B, that it is not of Satan, and C, if you don't make it your primary focus, then whatever happens will not sway you one way or the other. You'll just keep your focus on God. And it's an amazing, amazing thing to do that. Now, let's get back to today's show. Hate evil and love good. Hate evil and love good. Sounds like common sense, doesn't it? I believe it was L. Dooley's birthday, Eli. Is that true? Did you see that at all? Okay, if it's L. Dooley's birthday, please let me know so we can sing to you. It's interesting how people would be excited and gather for an eclipse, but now it's some scary emergency. Exactly, exactly. Excellent perspective. Thank you for speaking on this. Focus on Jesus. Yeah, you won't hear me talk about much about the eclipse today. Because my focus is on salvation right now, not on that. It's a cool event. Don't get me wrong. It's really cool. But I doubt Eli and I will even walk outside. We're too busy. If the rapture happens, we're ready. If something happens, we're focused on God. So we're, you know, if God be for us, who or what can be against us? Nothing. It takes more muscles to frown than to smile. Amen. Amen. Hey, J8. Those look to astrology is real Vikingness. Okay. Oh, yes. No, I get you. I get you. Was my B-day on 4-4. La La Artcore. Well, happy belated birthday to you. Not rapture time. No, it's definitely not. Not even close. Well, you know what? How about this? Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, L. Dooley and Lala. There it is. I thought so. Happy birthday to you. 65 years young. L. Dooley. All right. I did send out a morning newsletter today. So if you follow us or follow my newsletter, please open that newsletter up because we're going to be talking about loving good and hating evil. Hating what is evil and loving what is good. And we're going to actually dive a little bit deeper into that than what it sounds like on surface, okay? So make sure you open up your Bibles to Amos 5:15, but also make sure you go into your emails and check your morning newsletter, okay? D6964, you have already spoke on it. Thank you. We're praying and blowing shofars. We're praying against the plan of the enemy. The enemy is defeated. He will not get what he wants. Amen. Amen. All right. Let's go to prayer, and then we'll get into today's show. All right? Please remove your hats if you're wearing one, and let's go to focus on our Father, where our focus should be on today. Right? Jesus eclipsing sin. How about that? The only real eclipse in my life is Jesus stepping in front of sin and taking the punishment. So, here we go. Lord and Heavenly Father, thank you so much for allowing us to live in a country where worshiping God is far, far from dead. I believe the newsboys said it right. God's not dead, he's surely alive. And when I can come to work every day and pop on and show a video of a bunch of young, faithful, strong-willed Christian men and women singing songs of gospel on the internet, open and free, God's not dead. And as the devil continues, Lord, to try to keep our focus off of you, help us daily to not only remind ourselves, but be a light to remind others that God's not dead, he's surely alive. Now, the best way to show that God is not dead is by our actions. By our words, yes, but our actions must align with our words, and we must not be hypocrites. And today we're going to dive deep on hating evil and loving good. And Lord, we pray that you can be with us today, that the Holy Spirit can guide me through this very important message in some very dark times. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Hating evil and loving good. Well, if you open up your verses of the day, you'll see that I gave you, again, three versions. And I think I'm going to start doing this more often. I did this last Friday, I believe. It was or Thursday. Maybe I did it both days, where I gave you different versions of the verse that we're doing today. And the reason I did that and why I gave you those specific versions is because not all of us read from the complete Jewish Bible. Not all of us have the 1599 Geneva Bible. Not all of us have the same versions of Bible. So I figure if I put the three in there that I normally go to now, and that has changed over the years, by the way, as my journey with Jesus has furthered and my faith has evolved and gotten bigger and I understand more and God reveals things to me, things that I did not know before, then I kind of start, I changed up the versions of Bibles that I was reading based on my knowledge and experience. So the three Bibles that you are, or the three verses that you're going to get today are coming from the three versions that I normally would go to kind of check references. And one of that One of those is the 1599 Geneva Bible. The second is the Complete Jewish Bible, or the Messianic Bible. And the third is the ESV, the English Standard Version. And the reason I do that is because that's the church, that's the version my church uses. We have a lot of youngsters that don't go down to children's church anymore. And the ESV is a, I guess for all, it's as accurate as I think you can be for, when you're trying to transfer or transcribe or translate into an English version. Of course, I think as I stand here in front of you right now today, the 1599 Geneva Bible that still has the Apocrypha and so many other things that have been taken out since King James took over, I've just seemed to just gravitate more towards that now, because I want to try to get, I mean, our whole goal, isn't it, is to try to get back as close to Adam and Eve as possible, right? So we want to go back the further we can, but we still want to be in today. We still want to be today. And T. Mitchell is right. YouVersion Bible has tons of different translations. You can find an app out there that has different translations in it, so you can go and compare the verses. Let me read to you the description of today's show. Hate the evil and love the good. That seems pretty self-explanatory, right? What does that mean? What does it actually look like? Today will be a powerful and deep show that I think will convict all of us in some way, shape, or form. And I pray for our family members here on this show today to really open up their hearts to the Holy Spirit on this one. And please do your part to sign in, rumble this video, and help me share the gospel, not gossip. And the verse of today, the day today, is going to come from Amos 5:15. Now, while you guys are opening up Amos 5:15, let me read for you the understanding, the 66 books of the Bible. By the way, if you add in the Apocrypha, there's actually more. But understanding the 66 books of the Bible and going into Amos, which I don't think we've ever read from here on Rise Up. So let's read what the book of Amos is about, and so that it can open up our understanding of the verse that we're about to read. When Paul Harvey gave his famous speech, "So God Made a Farmer," in the year 1978, at the 1978 Convention of the Future Farmers of America, he began saying this, and I quote, "God said, I need someone willing to get up before dawn, milk cows, work all day in the fields, milk cows again, eat supper, and then go to town and stay past midnight at a meeting of a school board. So God made a farmer." Well, I have a feeling Amos would have liked that speech. Amos was a farmer, a sheep breeder, and a fruit grower from the town of Tekoa in Judah. In the 8th century BC, when God needed a plain-spoken man to deliver his message to Samaria, he chose a farmer, Amos. Amos traveled north and preached during a period of prosperity. Worship was hollow and injustice filled the land, with the rich trampling the right of the rich trampling the rights of the poor. The book of Amos is a collection of sermons condemning the nations, including Judah and Samaria, for the absence of the true worship and the presence of true injustice. The first two chapters of Amos focus on God's judgment of the nations. The next several chapters warn of judgment on Judah and Samaria. The last half of the final chapter is a beautiful promise of hope and restoration. Amos tells us God despises the exercise of empty religious ritual. A lot of that going on today. Our conduct must always grow from an authentic desire to love others and please Him. And our lives should always produce a true harvest of justice and righteousness. And the key thought of this verse, God hates oppression. His justice will roll down like a river, and His righteousness like a mighty stream. Ladies and gentlemen, how many of you have been silenced, oppressed, or suppressed in some way, shape, or form for either A, being a Christian, B, being a Republican, or C, being a supporter of a man named Donald Trump? In the last 6 years, how many of you, 7 years, 8 years, how many of you have been silenced, oppressed, suppressed, persecuted, and prosecuted? I guarantee you that every one of you will tell me that you fit into one of those acts, one of those tyrannical acts, one of those categories that I just mentioned. I have a feeling that every single one of you in this chat will say that you belong to one of them. And that is exactly what Amos is talking about. That's exactly what this book and what these verses that I'm about to read to you right now are talking about. So again, the Bible is amazing because it never dies. It's a living, breathing, wonderful document set in stone and will never, ever, ever, ever not hold water, not hold weight, will never be not the instructions before leaving earth. This is your roadmap. Period. And all those people out there say, well, I don't believe in God. And I don't believe that we have to live this way. And I don't believe Jesus is the only way to heaven. And I don't believe that Jesus is the only way to God. And I don't believe what the Christian God says. Or I don't believe what the Bible said. The Bible was just a book that was blah, 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 blah. The answer is, okay, well, that's great. But in this instance, it doesn't matter what you believe because you are wrong. You might have believed that I would be a little bit more sympathetic, or I might have been a little bit more open to your opinion or to your way of belief. But I'm going to tell you flat, straight out, as sure as I'm standing here in front of your face today, you are wrong and the Bible is right. So you can believe whatever you want, but I'm here to tell you, you are wrong. And the world has made it so that if you say that to somebody about their beliefs, then that is somehow hate speech, or you're a Islamophobe, or you're a homophobe, or you're a... Can we have a corruptophobe, Eli? Because I would like to be corruptophobic. Can I be phobic of corruption? Can I just say that? Because we never say that you're a liophobe. We never say that you're a cheaterphobe. We never say that you are a fornophobe. We never say that you are a corruptophobe. No, 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 no. We only do that when we want to separate people and empower them to fight each other. It's so stupid, and it's like a fifth grade way of social engineering. And the people that can't see it, literally, I feel pity on. People that can't see that, I feel pity for. I don't hate them. I truly do feel pity for them. I always say to my wife, I feel so bad for that person. And my wife will say, why? That person is reaping what they sow. And I said, yeah, but it still doesn't make it so that don't feel bad for them or that I don't have pity for them. And she says, no, I understand that, but you shouldn't let it, you know, weigh you down. And I said, well, I don't let it weigh me down, but it bothers me when somebody is being I feel sad when people are finally getting what they deserve. I really do. I really do. And there's a part of me that says, good, thank God they finally are. But then I feel bad for them. You know, I don't know what that is. There you go, an idiot phobe, a pedophobe. Exactly. How come they never say that? I'm here to tell you, ladies and gentlemen, that I am not afraid to say the truth. I'm not afraid to point out evil. I'm not afraid to confront evil. I'm not afraid to confront what's wrong. But I'm also not afraid to confront myself on those issues. I'm not afraid to convict myself in front of anybody and everybody because I am only performing in this life for an audience of one. And that audience of one is the only person's opinion that I really care about. So what would I care if somebody thought that I was some felonious convicted loser? What would I care if somebody thought that I was some giant waste of space or some Bible-thumping idiot. What would I care? I don't care about that. All I care about is what God thinks of me. So let's get into hating evil and loving good. And before we get into that with the verse, I want to tell you a story which made me think of this today. I was going to do a completely different show. I had it written down. I was getting ready to put today's show together today, and it didn't feel right. You know what I mean? It just didn't feel right. I sat there and I said, God, the Holy Spirit isn't speaking to me this morning on this one. So I said, I scrapped it. And I just prayed for God to show me what he wanted me to talk about today. Funny enough, when you give it to God and stop trying to put the cart before the horse and let things play out the way he wants them to, it's amazing how fast it comes to you. And like I said, amazing enough, it actually coincides with something that happened to me this weekend. So, my youngest daughter, Lily, about to be 7 years old, she's going through a phase right now of needing to be told four times, stomping away, rolling her eyes, what, when you say something to her. And we have been scolding her a lot lately. I mean, almost scolding her more than we are loving her, because she's just been a handful lately. And I think the reason why is because we've been spending so much of our effort and priority with our older daughters, who are not at the moment, but were for many months wreaking havoc on our lives. And I think this is her way of trying to be noticed, at the same time of trying to have her problems heard, and at the same time probably trying to get some kind of attention, some way, shape, or form, no matter how she does it. I get that. And not only have we been scolding her a lot lately, but she's in this phase where she loves to come in and just start butting in if you're having a conversation with somebody and just going, daddy, mommy, mommy, daddy, daddy, over and over and over again, asking the same thing while you're clearly in a conversation, even on the phone. And she's doing it on purpose. I get it. Maybe she doesn't realize she's doing it. But so we're not only scolding her a lot lately for her attitude and administering discipline, but we're also going, not now, Lily, quiet, Lily, stop, Lily. And I realized that this weekend that she probably just feels literally pushed away. She needs attention. So while we were talking to her about why she had just got disciplined about something. Oh, no. We were talking to her that we weren't going to allow her TV anymore. That TV was only going to come when she earned it, and not to ask for it every day, that we would let her know when it was going to be time. And we started pointing out the reason why she's in this situation right now. And I realized that we were pointing out all of her bad qualities. That we were pointing out all of her bad qualities. A 7-year-old girl sitting there listening months and months and months of her parents yelling and scolding and teaching and judging and disciplining her sisters and her trying to get attention and can't get it. And, you know, a business, 5 kids, all these things going on. And I can get it. And I started to realize in real time, the Holy Spirit tapped me and said, hey, and I said, what's up? And the Holy Spirit said, point out her good qualities too. Because if you just continue to show this, you're never going to get that. And I realized it in real time. So, and my wife kind of noticed that I had realized something. And I said, hey, Lily. And she goes, what? We're sitting on our bed. She's sitting on our bed in our bedroom. I said, hey, Lily. And I looked at mom and I said, hey, mom. She goes, what? And I said, what about all the great things that Lily does? And I smiled like this, raised my eyebrows. I said, what about all the great things that Lily does? And she said, ooh, she does so many good things. So my wife picked up on it right away. And I said, well, let's name some of the good things that Lily does. And so I go, well, what good things did she do today? And mom goes, well, I went grocery shopping today. And she helped a lot with grocery shopping. And she's been helping a lot with stuff around the house because we're packing some things up that we don't want in the house anymore and moving them out. And she's been helping a lot around there. I said, oh, yeah, She's a big help there, huh? And you started to see her. She kind of lifted her head up a little bit. You know what I mean? We're just showering her with some blessings here, showering her with some love that she really needs, because we just got done hating the evil for days. Oh, Casey, thank you. $25. Take Lily on an ice cream date. She's about to be 7. Yeah, April 18th. Yep. Thank you, guys, so very much. So very much. So I said, I appreciate that, Casey. And she goes, yeah, she did that. And she kind of lifted her head up again a little bit. And I said, yeah, and you know what else she did? She said, she says nice things to people all the time when we go out, when we go to the store, we go to a restaurant. She's always very polite. She's really nice to people, and she's got a beautiful smile. And she kind of smiled a little bit more. Look at that, Kat. You guys don't have to do that. Thank you so much. We appreciate you. That's awesome. Thank you. So anyway, we just started sitting there, and we just kept coming up with more and more and more. And in real time, my wife and I were realizing that there is so much more to praise her about, so much more to lift her up about than there is to tear her down. Not really tear her down, but, you know, when you're being disciplined and scolded, and there's a bunch going on in life, and you're just not getting the love and attention and stuff that you need, I wouldn't call it tearing down, but it's definitely not lifting up. And when you're just getting fed that for days, and days turn into weeks, and God forbid weeks turn into months, you start realizing, wow, I'm not even thinking about the greatness that Lily is. So we started lifting her up. And boy, am I glad I listened to the Holy Spirit on that. Am I glad I listened to the Holy Spirit? Because her entire attitude changes. And as a matter of fact, she came up to me a little later and she goes, Dad, can you come upstairs for a minute? I'm going to tell you something. I said, okay. So I walked upstairs and she goes, I just wanted to say that I'm sorry for not listening when I'm told to do stuff lately. I mean, very mature for a 7-year. She's going to be 7 here, April 18th. And I'm just like, Lily, that right there is exactly, that's all we ever want, is for you to realize what you've done wrong and then feel sorry that you did it. And feel sorry, apologize to God, apologize to your parents, and then we move on. So, but you are really great. So we just started talking about the good things that are in her life, and it really made her light up. Now, let me bring that into the verse of the day today. Okay? Please open up your verses, if you will. And let's read from the ESV version first. Amos 5:15 says, hate evil and love good, and establish justice in the gate. It may be that the Lord, the God of hosts, will be gracious to the remnant of Joseph. Let's go to the Geneva 1599. Hate the evil and love the good, and establish judgment in the gate. It may be that the Lord of hosts will be merciful unto the remnant of Joseph. Look at that. The Geneva 1599, one of the oldest ones that we have access to, is the same as the ESV. Great. Now, let's go to the Complete Jewish Bible. Hate evil, love good, and uphold justice at the gate. Maybe Adonai, Eloi Shvaat, sorry, that's Hebrew, will take pity on the survivors of Yosef. So, it's pretty clear here, folks. There's really not much to type about this. Hate what is evil, love what is good. Now let's dig deep. Are you ready for the dig deep part? It's very easy to look at a transgender, minor attracted person, maybe, maybe not, doing a drag queen story hour at a library. And you say, hate the evil, love the good. Well, it's very easy to lump that person that's doing that act into evil. Boom, that person's evil. Now we look at this person over here who's part of their missions group, trying to help people, doing charity, and we say, boom, that's good. That's not the case, guys, unfortunately. Do you want to know why? Because let's go back to the story of my 7-year-old daughter, who's clearly not doing drag queen story hours. I get it. But in her 6-year-old life, there's bad and good. There's wrong and right. There's evil and good. And what she's doing is bad. She's not respecting parents. She's things that she knows. She's grown up as a Christian. So it's not like our other kids who became Christian when they were 9 or 10. Or, I mean, I should say exposed to the Christian life. Whether they actually are or not, I guess that's on them. But she's been exposed to it since birth. So she's already got a leg up on them when it comes to the moral compass zone, right? So it's not right to say drag queen story hour person, evil person who does worship and ministry and all that and community service and praises God, good. Because both sin. Both do acts against God that he would look at as despicable somewhere in their lives. Neither are perfect. Neither are purely good, and neither are probably purely evil. And we know this because why? Because God says, you have been made in my image. And Jesus says, go and preach the good news to all of creation. Expose them to the gospel, bring them home to Christ. So when we think about hate evil, love good, what does Ray Comfort do when he talks to somebody who's a Satanist, an atheist, a transgender, a homosexual? What does Ray Comfort do? He finds the good in them. He breaks down the barriers by finding commonalities and finding the human in them. There's good somewhere in there, and Ray is a master at doing it in less than 10 minutes. Ray's perfect at it. That's why I love watching him so much, because he can do things that I wish I could do. That's what we're trying to get to. When you say hate evil, love good, you don't hate a person because they're committing evil. Yeah, you call it out. Yeah, you might have moments of weakness where you say it's disgusting, this, that, and the other. But you don't hate the person, you hate what they're doing, the act, because somewhere in there, there's some good. Just like the person over here who's been doing all this stuff that you look at as righteous and wonderful and perfect, they might be showing and doing all these great things, but guess what? They might be doing some bad things that you don't know about, right? The eyes are deceiving. So I guess the point of today's show is, try to be like Ray in the fact, and try to be like Jesus tells us in the fact that you should try to find the good in everything, not label everything evil because it's not showing good. What happens? Sabrina, are you in there? Are you downstairs here? Let me ask you a question real quick. When you have a dying plant in your garden, And it's not getting enough sunlight or water, and it's dying, but it's not dead, but it's not producing the fruit as others are, what do you do with it? You don't cut it out and get rid of it and then replant something else there? You don't? You just nurture it back to life? There you go, guys. I don't know about gardening, so I don't know if you'd try to rip it out like cancer. She says no. She said you feed it, water it, give it some love. Bring it back to life with TLC. And that, ladies and gentlemen, is an absolutely hard thing to do when it comes to human beings who prey on youngsters or whatever. You water it. You bring it back to life with good old-fashioned TLC. All right, folks. It's time for a little bit of Ray Comfort Mondays right now. So let's get into it as we are going through this hour pretty quick now. All right. Ray Comfort, ladies and gentlemen. And his little dog, too.
What do you think's wrong with the world? I think a lot of people don't like to listen to other people, and they don't like to empathize or like see things through a different perspective.
You're starting to be a journalist.
Yeah.
If you're told to write an article on why there's corruption in the world, what would you write?
I would definitely say greed is probably the number one factor.
That's a good point. Let me tell you a story. Years ago, there was a big spider web outside our house. I go out with a broom each morning and brush it away, and it'd come back every day. My problem is I couldn't find the spider. It was hiding. That was my big problem. And I thought, I'm more intelligent than a spider. So I went and got a stick, insect repellent, and I made the sound of a fly in distress while I tapped that web, and the spider came out from hiding, and I killed it. I dealt with the problem. All across the earth, we see a great web of corruption, but no one knows what the spider is. It's hiding. So I'm going to tap your heart and see if I can make the spider appear. Do you think you're a good person?
I would like to think so.
Spider's hiding. So I'm going to take what's called the rod of the law of Moses, the Ten Commandments, and tap your heart, tap your web. How many lies have you told in your life?
Probably too many to count.
What do you call someone who tells lies?
A liar.
So what are you?
Guess I'm a liar.
You still think you're a good person?
Yeah.
Spider's still hiding. Have you ever taken something that belongs to somebody else in your whole life, even if it's small?
Yeah.
What do you call someone who steals?
A stealer.
A thief.
Thief, yeah.
So what are you?
I'm a thief.
No, you're not. You're a lying thief.
Okay.
Still think you're a good person?
Yeah.
Okay. Have you ever used God's name in vain?
Absolutely.
Do you love your mom?
I do.
Would you ever use her name as a cuss word?
No.
No, because that would disrespect her. You respect your mom, but you don't respect the God that gave you a mom and gave you life because you've taken his holy name and used it in place of a cuss word. Called blasphemy, Edward. Punishable by death in the Old Testament. Once again, I appreciate your honesty. Jesus said, if you look at a woman and lust for her, you commit adultery with her in your heart. Have you ever looked at a woman with lust?
Yeah.
You had sex before marriage?
Yeah.
So here's a summation. Not judging you, Edward, but you've just told me you're a lying, thieving, blasphemous, fornicating adulterer at heart who's self-righteous and saying you're a good person. When you're not, you're like the rest of us. So there's the spider. If God judges you by the Ten Commandments on Judgment Day, you're going to be innocent or guilty.
I'm going to be guilty.
Ever heard the Bible verse, the wages of sin is death?
No.
It's very famous. A journalist should know that. The Bible is the world's biggest selling book of all time. It's saying that God is paying you in death for your sins. It's like a judge in a court of law looks at a heinous criminal who's committed multiple murders and keeps saying, I'm a good person, I'm a good person. The judge says, I'm going to show you how serious your crime is. I'm giving you the death sentence. This is your wages. This is what we're paying you. And Edward, sin is so serious to a holy God, he's given you the death sentence. You're on death row. Your death will be evidence to you that God is deadly serious about sin, and you've earned your wages. Lying, thieving, blasphemous, fornicating, adulterer at heart, you're self-righteous. So if you're guilty on Judgment Day, will you go to heaven or hell?
Sounds like I'm going to hell.
Now, does that concern you?
Yeah, the thought of hell's pretty scary.
Yeah, the Bible says all liars live their part in the lake of fire. So here's where we're heading with this. What did God do for guilty sinners so we wouldn't have to go to hell?
He died.
Yeah. Remember I said there's an answer to death? Now, most people know that Jesus died, but they don't get it. There's something missing. And if you can get a grip of this, it's going to change everything for you. The Ten Commandments are called the moral law. You and I broke the law. Jesus paid the fine. That's what happened on that cross. That's why he said, it is finished. Just before he died, he was saying, paid in full. If you're in court and you've got speeding fines, a judge will let you go if someone pays those fines. They say you're guilty, Edward, but you're out of here because someone's paid your fine. And it's legal. Well, God can legally dismiss your case. He can legally let you live forever because of that death and resurrection of Jesus. And all you have to do to find everlasting life, according to the Bible, is repent of your sins. Say, God, I've got a wicked heart. I've been doing things I know are morally wrong. I need your forgiveness. And you turn from your sins, and then you put your trust in Jesus like you trust a parachute. If you're going to jump out of a plane 10,000 feet, why would you put on a parachute?
So you don't splat on the floor.
Yeah, and your motivation is fear. You fear dying, so you want to live, so you put the parachute on. That fear is your friend. It's not your enemy. It's doing you a favor. Can you see that?
Yeah.
Edward, because I love you, I try to put the fear of God in you today. I've tried to make you scared, make your heart palpitate, mouth go dry. Hoping you'll see that fear as your friend, not your enemy, and you'll say, wow, this is deadly serious. This is my life. I don't want to be damned by Almighty God because of my sins. And you'll take seriously what God says, and you'll come to Christ and say, God, forgive my sins. And so that fear is your ultimate friend because it's driving you to find everlasting life. Is this making sense?
Yeah.
You're going to think about what we talked about?
Yeah.
When are you going to repent and put your faith in Jesus?
This weekend is a good opportunity.
What's today?
Thursday.
Say you'd die between now and weekend.
I guess I should.
150,000 people die every 24 hours. 150,000, a lot of young people. So what were you saying when I interrupted?
Probably be best to do it as soon as possible. Then.
Like today?
Yeah.
The Bible says today if you hear his voice, don't harden your heart. And the reason you should do it today is because the devil will say to your heart, don't you give up sin. You love pornography. It gives you so much pleasure. You love sex with your gorgeous girlfriend. Don't give it up. Hold on to it. It's like holding onto a stick of dynamite because you're fascinated by the flicker of the flame. So what you need to say to God is, God, would you change my heart so I love righteousness? And that's your own personal miracle. God will cause you to love righteousness, which is a miracle for sin-loving sinners. Understand what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Would you be embarrassed if I pray with you?
No, I wouldn't.
Father, I thank you for Edward's open heart. I pray today he'll think about his secret sins and understand that you have seen them and your wrath abides upon him, but you're rich in mercy and you provided a way of escape and that you're the lover of his soul. May today he find a place of true repentance, true sorrow for sin and faith in Jesus and pass from death to life. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Do you have a Bible at home?
Yeah.
Can I give you a book I've written called Scientific Facts in the Bible?
Sure, yeah.
Well, there you go, ladies and gentlemen. Another great story by Ray Comfort. Another great interview by Mr. Ray Comfort as well. And bringing another soul, hopefully, to Christ. At least planting seeds. And that's what it's all about, folks. Planting seeds. Now, I want to share this incredible moment with you from Brandon Lake. Now, Brandon Lake is actually probably one of the largest, I think one of the most pure big names out there as a Christian. He's actually starting to go his own way and make his own way, his own journey with Jesus. He's still going to help out other people and do music with them. But Brandon Lake is on a journey right now with his family and Jesus. And I am just so happy. And I admire this young man so much. And I just want to show this this moment at this concert that he had. We pop this on the screen. I just want you to see thousands of people. And I imagine that the tears must just well up in his eyes and in his throat when he sees something like this happen. Check this out.
So I
You tell me, ladies and gentlemen, goosebumps. And I guarantee you that the devil is going to be attacking this young man very hard over the course of his, over the course of the next few years, ladies and gentlemen. So let's pray for Brandon and his family as well, because he's got a lot of people, even close to him, that are starting to change their tune, and I hope he doesn't change with them. I hope he stays right on that path with God. Well, ladies and gentlemen, that is going to do it for live from America. Well, LFA TV's Rise Up anyway. Live from America comes at 11. Mike Crispy, Unafraid, producer Frankie, coming up next, ladies and gentlemen. It's been wonderful to be able to sit here and worship with you this morning. I'm going to take you out the same way I brought you in with some great Christian music. I love you guys. Remember, I know this is probably one of the hardest things that we'll do. It really is. Remember, we got to dig deep on this one. You just don't you don't see one act and think that that's an act or that act is, defines that person. You got to dig deep. That's what we're called to do. I love you guys. Enjoy your morning with your Rise Up coffee. Order more. Why not? It's great. Have a great morning, ladies and gentlemen, and we'll see you later, okay? God bless you. Thank you for being here.
I can hear the heartbeat of my father as he carries me home.